Again, we've been talking about the church covenant. We've looked at this morning. We looked at the phrase in the covenant where we are endeavoring to covenant and agree upon doing certain things in the name of our Lord Jesus. We spoke about what two things that expression means. It means that we do it in the authority. Christ has given us the authority to serve Him in this capacity. And also that it means that we do it for His name's honor and glory, as Brother George mentioned in his prayer just a moment ago. Now we want to look at another aspect of the covenant that we read this morning. And as I said this morning, I want to read this each time we go into this, so just bear with me as we read this again. This is the church covenant of Radnor Primitive Baptist Church. For as much as Almighty God, by His grace, has been pleased to call us out of darkness into His marvelous light, and all of us have been regularly baptized upon a profession of our faith in Christ Jesus, and have given up ourselves unto the Lord and to one another in a gospel church way, to be governed and guided by a proper discipline agreeable to the Word of God, we do therefore, in the name of our Lord Jesus and by His assistance, covenant and agree to keep up the discipline of the church we are members of in the most brotherly affection toward each other, while we endeavor to observe the following rules. In brotherly love, to pray for each other, to watch over one another, and if need be, in the most tender and affectionate manner, to reprove one another. That is, if we discover anything amiss in a brother, to go and tell him his fault according to the direction given by our Lord in the 18th chapter of Matthew, and not to be whispering and backbiting. We also agree, with God's assistance, to pray in our families, attend our church meetings, observe the Lord's Day and keep it holy, and not absent ourselves from the communion of the Lord's Supper without a lawful excuse, to be ready to communicate to the defraying of the church's expenses and for the support of the ministry, not irregularly depart from the fellowship of the church, nor to remove to distant churches without a regular dismissal, that is, a church letter. These things we do covenant and agree to observe and keep sacred in the name of and by the assistance of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. So this afternoon we're going to talk about and by His assistance, or by our Lord Jesus' assistance, we do covenant and agree to do these things elaborated upon in the covenant. So this one really ought to be a no-brainer, okay? We need the assistance of our Lord Jesus Christ. We, not too long ago, in our study of John chapter 15, in speaking about bearing fruit to the honor and glory of our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus there in the fifth verse tells us there that without Him, we can do nothing. Okay? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. But friends, let me just remind us of some very specific truths related to this. Yeah, I realize I'm preaching to the choir here this afternoon. But you know that without first the grace of God in our lives, there would be no capacity whatsoever to do anything pleasing in the sight of God. Not only would we not have the capacity, the strength, the power to do that, but we would not have the willingness to do it either. We have said time and again there, we've quoted from Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity, you know, against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You know, that verse tells us that we first are enmity, we are hostile against God. We're not lovers of God. We hate God, as a matter of fact. But it also says that we will not keep, that is, our will is not congruent with the will of God, and our ability, we have no ability to do the will of God. In fact, as we read on there in Romans chapter 8, we find that he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? So what we covenant in the church here to do, the things that are elaborated here in this covenant, it would be utterly impossible for us to do. Even if we had the willingness to do it, we lack the capacity. If we had the capacity, we lack the willingness. Okay? So we're done for either way. Whether you're talking about capacity or will, we cannot and will not do the will of God apart from the grace of God in our lives. Titus, and Paul writing to Titus, in chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, elaborating about our condition before the grace of God in our lives, he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Boy, that's a pretty grotesque description of us, isn't it? But it's the truth. That's exactly what we were before the grace of God in our lives. And you're familiar with Ephesians chapter 2 when he says in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And he says, it goes on to say in verse 2, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So again, he's describing us prior to our being quickened, or as he says to Titus there in chapter 3, before grace come, before he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so we're in a bad lot, to begin with. And this is the condition of humanity when they are conceived. This is their nature, this is their state. Okay? They're not willing, nor are they able to do anything pleasing in the sight of God. And not only are they not able and not willing, but they hate God. Okay, it's not simply that they don't know anything about God, but what they know of God, they hate. Okay, all right. So we can go in and read there Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, how he gives us a detailed description of what our nature is. All right, but you're pretty well familiar with that. I just would like to mention one thing that he says in that passage. And that is, when he looks at Jew or Gentile, he says, it doesn't matter which camp you are in, we're all under sin. We're all in the same boat. We all have the same daddy. Okay? Right? We all have the same daddy. We all have Adam as our natural father. Okay? So, yeah. Apart from the grace of God, we're not going to serve Him. Okay, and then something radical happens. Sometime after our conception in our mother's womb, I trust that each of us here, the Holy Spirit came to us and regenerated us, created us new creatures in Christ Jesus, which we talked about last Sunday. Okay, created us new creatures in Christ Jesus, and has ordained that we should walk in good works, that we should perform good works. In fact, in Titus chapter 2, I believe it is, about verse 14, he talks about how that he redeemed us, okay, and redeemed us as a peculiar people, zealous of all good works, or zealous of good works. Okay, that's what happens. That's what happens to us in the work of regeneration. We have something incredible happens in each of our cases. Before that work of regeneration, you are dead in trespasses and sins. Before regeneration, you are without strength. And before regeneration, you're hateful and hating one another. Before regeneration, all you think about is you, or me. Okay? We're afflicted gravely with the me monster. It's all me. It's all I. And it's nothing about you. It's all about me. Okay? Everything we do is for our own benefit. And by the way, that's the worldly philosophy. That's the philosophy of the world. Do all for your own benefit. You've got to look out for number one. Hello, here I am. Okay? All right, you're doing it for me. All right? But when regeneration comes, when the Holy Spirit comes unto us, comes into our hearts and says, live, and we live, now something amazing happens. He creates us a new creature in Christ, a new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness, a new nature that has a desire to please God. A desire not only to please God, but also has the ability to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Okay? We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll begin at verse 1. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according, listen, as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. If you're listening, you heard Him say that He hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not only has He given us the Spirit of God, not only has He saved us and given us eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, but He's also given us the ability now as a result of the consequence of the new birth, the ability to live godly. Okay? To live piously. And I'm not talking about, you know, the kind of piety that the Pharisees possess. I'm not talking about the piety that the Sadducees pretended. I'm talking about true godliness. I'm talking about lives that are holy, that are righteous. Lives there that are head and shoulders, if you will, above everything in this world. Okay? That we have received by His divine power. There was a spell here many years ago where we had quoted Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 numerous times. You know, not only are we equipped in the new birth, but you know, that equipment that we are given in the new birth continues to be fostered in us throughout our lives. So that we read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So God wrought in you both the willingness and the ability to do His good pleasure continually.
Praise God.
All right? So we are not without strength. We have the wherewithal to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God. Okay? But then there are times in your and my experience where we feel to be very weak. Now, I mentioned here, I stated feel. It's not that we are without strength, okay? It's that we feel to be without strength. And in those times when we feel to be without strength, God's given you a precious resource. Okay, we read in Hebrews chapter 4, in about verse 15, where he says there, and I should be able to quote those two verses here, but he says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Okay, that's who we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a great high priest who was touched in all points like as we are, who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And he, because he was, he can identify. He can relate. He is human. Okay, we had that discussion on Wednesday night. He is human. All right? He is in heaven in a human body, glorified be it all, but He's yet in a human body, a glorified human body, and in this world without a glorified body, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows where you are. He knows what you feel. He knows the challenges you meet with. He suffered many of the things that you suffered. In fact, He's gone way over and beyond suffering that you'll never meet with in this life. Oh yes, He can identify where you are. He knows where you are. He knows the pain. He knows the suffering. He knows the challenges. He knows your weaknesses. And because He knows, He says in verse 16, let us therefore, Come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you feel to be weak. You feel to lack strength. He says, well, come on to the throne of grace where you can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, if someone says, well, I just can't do it. You know, this walking in the will of God, trying to keep the commandments of God and all that sort of thing, I can't do it. Friends, that should not enter into your and my vocabulary. Right? What was it that Paul said? That's right. That's exactly what he said. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And of course, we'll put a little bracket around all things here. I mean, all things that are pleasing. And the context there, it certainly was pleasing to God to be content in whatsoever state Paul was in. Whether he was poor or whether he was abounding, in whatever state he was in, he learned to be content. Okay? He said, I can do it all through Christ. Friends, I believe that's true with us today. We can do it all. We can do all things that are pleasing in the sight of God through Christ, which strengthens us. Okay? Now, this does not mean, and this here you need to hang on to, this does not mean that you can, or that you will be perfect here in this life. Please remember that. What I'm saying here, that you can do all things through Christ, does not mean you're going to be perfect. We said, I think, just this past Wednesday night, I believe it was, or maybe it was the previous Sunday, we mentioned there what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, and verse 17, where he says there, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. All right? You're never going to be as good as you can be, or as good as you want to be, I should say it that way, but you'll never be as bad as you could be. Because you have two different natures that are warring against each other within. So that you cannot be the very best, nor will you be the worst. Okay? You'll not be the worst. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're not going to be perfect in this life. But you certainly, and I certainly, ought to be growing. We ought to be advancing. We ought to be getting better and better. All right? As it were. Amen?
Amen?
Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to what Paul said. Now, Paul is... He is striving to attain that same glory that apprehended him on the road to Damascus. He's endeavoring to attain unto that glorification. Yeah, he wants to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He wants the goodness, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to be just like his Savior and Lord. But he says, I'm not yet attained. No. Now this is Paul, the aged Paul. He was writing this letter from a prison there in Rome. It won't be long after this that he will lose his head quite literally. All right? Nero will execute him. And he says there later, late in life, he says, I'm not yet attained. I'm not perfect. That's what he's saying. Yeah. I'm not perfect. But I keep pressing forward.
Right.
I keep going. You're going to get knocked down.
Yeah.
You're going to get knocked down. But bless your heart, get back up.
Amen.
You know, his brother Zach, yes, you know, I've heard him say this on a couple occasions. He said, we got to keep on keeping on. You know, we just got to keep on trucking, I think is actually what he says there. We keep on trucking. You just got to keep on trucking. You know, you get a flat tire, you fix it, you keep on trucking. You know, you got to keep going. You're going to have setbacks. You know, the righteous, you know, they get knocked down seven times, and seven times you get back up again. You know, seven. You know, that number's important. Okay? However many times it is we get knocked down, you just get right back up again. Amen? You can't do the will of God. You cannot
perform these things which God's called us to do. You cannot follow the Lord Jesus Christ in discipleship without His assistance. Okay? You can't do it without Him. It was said back a few weeks ago when we were studying in the book of John in chapter 15 that in order to bear fruit to the glory of our Heavenly Father, we have to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about what that means. It means to abide means to read and study and meditate in His Word. It means to pray. Pray often. Which this covenant here mentions. Okay? And thirdly, it requires our fellowship with the saints, which also is addressed here in this covenant. You cannot perform doing the will of God without the assistance of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessing.